You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Bickert. So according to a Scholastic survey, about half of parents feel their children don't spend enough time reading books for fun. The report also found that 33% of parents say their children spend too much time playing video or computer games. Now, I would completely like to get on board with this and encourage children to love reading. On the other hand, I know that I was a video game nerd when I was a kid. So it's interesting to think about where the line is. And Rob, you played video games. Well, why am I using the past tense? You play video games and you read.
We had the Atari 2600 when I was a kid. I went to play at the arcade at the little mini golf course in Ann Arbor. But I read a lot, too. Like, I had a lot of time for video games. I read. I guess I didn't get much exercise is what I lost there.
But so clearly, if you use the two of us as evidence, there's overlap between video games and people who like to read.
Right. And I learned a lot from video games, like Space Invaders and Defender, that no matter how hard you try, they're going to get you.
I learned how to make burgers.
Burger Time. You're a big Burger Time fan.
Well, our next guest is a former video game geek and also a reader and writer. Christopher John Farley is a senior editor at the Wall Street Journal, where he just wrote a piece about how books could learn a thing or two from video games. He's the author of the book Game World. Christopher, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. You know, I don't know if you're ever a former video game geek. I think I continue to be one and I will be one for life.
You never put it behind you.
I think that's exactly right.
Well, so you're like a lot of parents out there. You want your kids to love to read, which is it makes sense. You're an author. But you also worried that they're playing too many video games. Why do parents tend to pit video games and reading against each other?
Well, that's a good observation. You know, part of the problem today is back when we were kids, video games weren't as immersive. You know, going way back, you put your two quarters in, and the video game lasts a few minutes, and you're done. Now the video games are obviously at home. They're fully immersive, the graphics are better, the storylines are more involving. Maybe they're playing them online with friends as well. And they can really completely take over their entire world and not leave any room for reading or for books or for literature. But my feeling is the two things don't necessarily have to be pitted against one another, and one can be used to reinforce doing the other. Particularly video games can be used in certain ways to get kids to read more, to want to read more, to pick up a book, so they can fill out other parts of their personality that they can't by just, you know, tooling around Grand Theft Auto.
Well, are there things that book culture and writers could learn from those immersive video games that you're talking about?
Well, I think number one is that reading, you know, like gaming, really can be a social exercise. You know, games have gotten much more social just in the last few years and months, with kids being able to play online, interacting with other friends from school, strictly through the whole world of the video game. And that pulls people in. It makes video games a platform for other kinds of discussions and pushes other things out. But I think if you try to turn books into a more social thing, they can get kids to read too. For example, one thing I've found really helps getting my kids to read is if they form their own sort of smaller book clubs with friends, because then reading becomes more of an interactive thing. Their friend is reading a book, they're reading the same book, they can discuss it. It's a simple thing, it's an intuitive thing, it may be an obvious thing, but it really works.
That's interesting. I haven't heard about too many kid book clubs. I know that ever since Oprah, every, you know, woman I know is in a book club, not as many guys, but it's interesting to think about the concept of kids' book clubs.
Yeah, my son formed a small book club over the summer just with another friend. They finished two books, but they had a ball reading those two books. They were both totally into it. We threw a party each time they finished a book and so they could discuss the book together. And it really got them involved in the very meat of the book because they knew the other kid was reading too. And they kind of wanted to impress each other about the depth of their knowledge about what they're reading. The other thing he'd been doing lately too is just talking to his friends about what they're reading and what really excites them. And some of the answers are kind of surprising, like a friend of his read The Outsiders and just loved the book and just totally involved in it. So I thought, maybe I get my son The Outsiders, he'll love it too. And he did. He connected with this decades-old story. So I guess that story really works. I never would have bought The Outsiders on my own for my son, but because another kid on his basketball team recommended it, it turned out it worked for him. Still connects to young boys.
Let's talk about the content a little more. Is part of the problem maybe that we want them reading Tolstoy in fifth grade or something like that when we might be better off, I don't know, getting a novelized tie-in to those video games that they're playing?
Yeah, my son keeps asking to read War and Peace. I guess I should probably get him a copy of it.
War and Peace, the video game.
I'm joking. He wants to read it. I'm like, really? Oh, I don't know if you're quite ready for that because you're laughing, but and I'll get it for him if you want.
I didn't even make it through War and Peace, and I have tried. That's impressive that your son is so interested.
But I think it is important that books be fun. So, you know, when my son wants to read comic books, I go to the comic book store with him all the time because as long as he's reading, I think it's a good thing. So he'll go there and he'll get the Avengers, he'll get the Simpsons comics. He'll get newer graphic novels as well. You know, as long as they're sitting there, they're reading, they're inside their own heads, they're interacting with the page, the written word, that gets them involved in the world of books. So I think parents shouldn't be snobs about it and go like, well, why are they reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid? No, if they're reading, if they're turning the pages, they're moving in the right direction. So don't turn that off. If they're doing it, it's good.
Now, when Rob and I were playing video games, it was Galaga was my game in Burger Time. What was yours? Joust or something?
Joust, yeah. Galaga 2, yeah.
Okay, so those were not, if you remember, the graphics. Those were just like little blobs on the screen moving around. Now the video games, they're so fleshed out and interesting and rich.
And more plots, too.
More plots, and it's what you call, Christopher, world building. What can books learn about world building from video games?
Well, I think some of those old-time games are now acknowledged classics. They're like modern art now. You look at them, Pac-Man, you're like, that's perfect. Don't change a thing. Pong, that's what it's all about. But, of course, now games have richer graphics, more involved worlds. And I think that you should do the same thing with books. You've got to make sure people understand there's a whole world there for them to explore. So one thing I do with my kids is I take them to children's bookstores, not just the big chain bookstores, though they have their place too. I take them to kids' bookstores where there are events happening, where there are interested salespeople who can actually show them around and say, hey, this book is good, or here's what you might like this because you like that. And if you actually have a real person there telling them about author events, telling them about readings that are taking place, telling them about treasure hunts that are happening in the store, all those things lead them to see, oh, there's a world here of books, just like there's a world of video games, and there's something that I can explore as well. It's part of building a culture around reading. And I've done it with my own kids. It really does work. It is a very effective tool in getting kids to really sort of love reading.
How important is modeling if we're telling kids read more, but we're always playing a game on our smartphone versus we're telling them to read more and we're reading in front of them? Does that make a difference?
You know, you're so right. And if you're sitting there smoking, of course your kid might take up smoking. No matter how much you say smoking is bad for you, the same thing in a good way with books. If you're reading a book, your kid is much more likely to read a book too. That's one reason why I wrote, you know, this kids' book, Game World, is that, you know, I saw my son wasn't involved in reading as I might have wanted him to be. So I wrote a book that I thought would get him excited about reading because it got me excited about writing. And I also made sure he saw me around the house writing this book, reading other books. And it really shows him, hey, if Dad is doing it, if Dad is really enjoying reading books, writing books, world building, you know, maybe something that I can get involved in too. So over the summer, one thing we did is on Sundays, we'd spend an hour or so, and we'd just all sit around the TV room. All the screens in the house would have to be off, and we'd sit around, and we'd all have a book to read. Mom would join in, too, my wife, and we'd just all have our own books, whether they were comic books, whether they were big books, whether they were silly, trashy books. We were just all reading as a family, sitting down, all the screens off. And I tell you, those were some of the best times we had this summer, and my kids would agree.
Family reading time. That's another great one. You also mentioned maybe using video games as kind of a bribe for reading. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm not above bribing kids. I'm totally down with that. I bribe my kids to read all the time, and it actually works. I'll say, hey, listen, you read 5 books, I'll buy you that pair of sneakers. I've done it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to admit it to all your readers. I've done it, and it works. Because I want to make sure the kids are reading for whatever reason. Because if they're reading great books, after a while, they'll have to read them without the bribes. But so I have put bribes on the table to get them to read. There's no screens during the week except for on special occasions. So the end of the week feels special when they get to turn the TV off when they get home on a Friday after school. They all rush and turn on the TV and they watch the TV for a while. They play video games for a while, but it should be on special occasions. Try to keep it within certain boundaries, because those video games, they're really like a drug. They can take over people's entire lives. I know, because I've done it. I remember one time I got this one video game that was so involving. I was up all night playing, and my wife came up and said, "What are you doing? It's 2 a.m. I just lost track of time in this video game." So you can do that to an adult.
Right.
I'm sure I can do it to kids much more easily.
Well, Christopher, interesting ideas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Christopher John Farley is a senior editor at The Wall Street Journal, where he recently wrote a piece about what books can learn from video games. He's also the author of the book Game World.